AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Allison Keyes in the Washington Bureau. Some places in California could get up to 10 inches of rain, as other parts of the Golden State could see avalanches. That blizzard warning for Los Angeles County ends at 4 p.m. Pacific time, but there's been snow there. This woman was pretty pleased to see it.
It is nice because I don't have to drive somewhere to enjoy this weather. Of course, I can't go snowboarding or anything here, but I still enjoy the fresh air the snow brings.
But hundreds of thousands of people in Michigan are still without power in the wake of one of the worst ice storms in decades. There is more fighting in Ukraine after that nation and others marked a year since the Russian invasion. Ukraine says there are dozens of new Russian strikes and attacks on cities in the east and south. CBS's Christina Ruffini reports more help is coming.
This week, the Pentagon announced a new $2 billion assistance package, which will include ammunition and small high-tech drones. But it will not include the fighter jets Ukrainians have been asking for to defend against relentless Russian air assaults on their cities.
There is no basis upon which there is a rationale, according to our military now, to provide F-16s.
But you're not ruling it out.
I am ruling it out for now.
People were still lined up nearly 2 hours after voting was supposed to end in Nigeria's presidential election. But there has been some violence. The BBC's Nkechi Agbona is there.
In Lagos, Nigeria's biggest city, there have been violent incidents at several polling stations. At one visited by the BBC, a group of men were seen leaving the place, holding bottles and sticks and leaving ballot papers scattered on the ground, and some voters were bruised or injured. A woman told the BBC that there had been a peaceful atmosphere until a group of masked men arrived and threw everything into chaos, breaking into boxes and taking equipment from electoral officials.
In Austin, Texas, there's proposed legislation banning nearly all gender-affirming care. There's been a huge backlash in a state where more than 70 anti-LGBTQ bills have been filed this year alone. Robert Salcido was with Pride in San Antonio.
It's a bill that is meant to harm and to stifle the LGBTQ plus community, specifically trans folks, as a way to erase them. A plethora of different bills that are being proposed, not only this legislative session, but legislative sessions in the past, are having them flee our communities to move to different states and even different countries so that they can have that sense of safety, that sense of protection to be again who they know themselves to be.
Other Republican-led states, including Florida, have also been seeking to ban gender-affirming care. This is CBS News.
Find tools for the job site or your own backyard at over 10,000 authorized local Steel dealers. Find yours at steelusa.com, STIHLUSA.com.
Yeah, I'm so stressed. Our business is growing. We've got people all over now.
Ooma.
What is that? Meditation?
I'm recommending the Ooma cloud phone system with auto attendant and more than 50 features.
Ooma?
Yep, switching to Ooma is a cinch. Just $24.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Ooma.
Now you're feeling it. Find Small Business Calm at ooma.com/radio. That's ooma.com/radio.
This week, Staples has deals so good, you're going to want to sit down. Are you sitting? I'll wait. Great. Right now during Staples Sit-a-thon, select chairs are up to 50% off, like the Union and Scale Essentials Task Chair. Now just $89.99 at Staples. You save $90. Plus, a 24-pack of TrueClear bottled water is only $2.99 or only $1.99 with the Staples Connect app. So take a seat or two right now at Staples, the working, learning, and saving store. Ends 2/25. In-store only, water limit one while supplies last.
A McDonald's.
Pride.
Left corner, three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows of aloft around 12 tonight under partly cloudy skies, west winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Highs of aloft around 34 tomorrow, mainly clear skies. Freezing rain likely tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 24, overcast skies. About an inch of snow Monday through Monday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 28.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Attorney Fred Gordon and former alderman in the city of Milwaukee, who now resides in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're talking about, you know, it's Black History Month, so I reached out to Fred because, you know, some things that happened in the city of Milwaukee that I think that many people in this listening audience would be amazed to find out. You know, and so we're going to be doing that throughout this month, bringing people like Fred Gordon on to talk about the history of this state and Black people in it. And before we go back, Fred, you know, what we want people to understand, too, is back during those times, we kind of had our own Bull Connor, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Harold Breyer and that police
Harold
department.
Harold Breyer was the chief of police, and he ran a very tight ship, as they used to say back in the day, in the sense that you had a small number of African Americans, and I don't think they had any Latin people on the force during that time. And he ran the city. I remember vividly during those times when the mayor, Henry Meyer, said emphatically that there's nothing that I can do to stop Harold Breyer from doing what he does.
Right.
And, you know, that was an admission that was very shocking at the time. And essentially, he ruled the city, and certainly the segregation that was pronounced at that time was due in large part to the control that the police exercised over the African-American community, and in many communities still existing here at this point in time in America.
Yeah, so let's go back to the open housing and the fact that, you know, schools, the schools that were created to address this, the segregation in the schools.
Yes, well, what happened, Earl, as you may recall as well, is that from 1965 to 1967, there was a lot of activism. There were marches, there were boycotts, there were sit-ins. The NAACP, and more importantly, the NAACP Youth Council, spearheaded what was, as I indicated earlier, called direct action. Instead of just complaining about it and crying about it, the determination was to get into the streets to march. We were taking our cues from what we saw happening in other cities around the country, particularly in the South. Dr. King came to Milwaukee during that period of time.
Several times.
Yes. Dick Gregory was very much involved in helping to publicize what was going on and certainly marched with us. You know, I was like 13, 14, 15 years old. And the youth council at that time was spearheaded by Father James Groppi. And, you know, as you know, during that period, there was a coalition of activists, black and white, who were working together to bring attention, you know, to these segregated situations in America. And the Catholic Church was very much involved at that time in leading that. Father Groppi, as we called him, marched with us, organized, and spearheaded the resistance to the laws that were being perpetrated upon the African-American community, and the fact that, for the most part, all black people lived in one area of the city. And that's why the open housing, the fair housing laws that were being put forth by then Alderwoman Bill Phillips and others were contentious, because essentially they wanted to keep black folks in our place. And as long as we stayed in our place and did what we were told, then we wouldn't have any problems. But obviously that wasn't the case. So in 1966, I recall vividly, the marches had started to ramp up. And, you know, I was a kid. I got involved because the NAACP Youth Council of Freedom House was right behind where I used to live. And I spent a lot of time over there and got involved and got to marching. That's where my political consciousness began. And, you know, as a teenager, you know, I was reading James Baldwin and, you know, Dr. King's speeches, and all kinds of activity were going on. So the marches across the 6th Street Viaduct was the first time that I had ever marched. You know,
Fred,
in a civil rights march.
I know, but so Fred, before we get to the viaduct, what people need to understand is the viaduct was like a dividing line.
Yes.
White.
Yes, the viaduct was.
Go ahead.
The viaducts, and there was more than one too. The viaduct separated, you know, the black community from the white community. It separated the north side, where most black folks live, from the south side, where most white folks live during that period of time.
Right.
So no black people ever crossed the viaduct unless they were going to work or, you know, had some business over there, and very few black folks had business on the south side. So as a result, the viaduct was the dividing line. So to march across the viaduct was a big deal. And marches were organized and commenced, and there were several marches. There were marches every day, as I recall. And every time we got to a certain point, there was resistance, you know, by white people who did not want us, quote, invading, unquote, their neighborhoods.
So, Fred, people might want to know, were these marches just with black people, and how large were they?
Oh, no, they were not just solely black folks. During that period of time, as you recall, Earl, integration was starting to proliferate. We always had the opportunity to coalesce with like-minded white people.
Right.
There weren't a lot of them, but there were some. And as a result, we did have white marchers. And again, I have to give the church at that time credit, because Father Groppi was the leader. You know, think about this. You know, we had a white priest who was leading the black struggle.
Yes.
At that time.
Yes.
And as a result, you know, there were other priests, Lutheran priests, Catholic priests in other cities that were doing the same thing. So that's what focused the attention of the world, really, on the city of Milwaukee, that you had this white priest who was leading these black folks on marches across the viaduct to City Hall and downtown Milwaukee. And as a result, Milwaukee became an epicenter of the struggle.
So Fred,
and the attention was being brought to bear, you know, on the conditions in the city.
So, Fred, hang on a second. Let's go to the phone lines and Andy from Beaver Dam. Hey, good morning, Andy. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, I moved to Milwaukee in 65 from my hometown, and everything you're describing is right. The Father Grappi would lead every day a group of African-Americans and other people over the 16th Viaduct Bridge over the Menominee River Valley into the Polish, what used to be the Polish section of Milwaukee. And of course, these guys over there, the white guys, they'd be waiting for them, and they would, this was a peaceful demonstration. But a lot of times those guys would, you know, throw rocks at them or, you know, or just, they'd really get mad, you know, at the demonstrators and get them crazy. As far as Breyer was concerned, you know, cops in the mid-60s always looked like, you know, they'd have the hats and all that stuff. Though that everything crescendoed by 67 after the riots when they closed the city down, all of a sudden the cops are wearing helmets and riot gear, and they'd open up the doors of their police cars and they'd have shotguns stuck in a holster in the door. I mean, they were totally armed, you know, ready, hell-bent for whatever would come their way, you know, and like you said, Breyer would rule with an iron hand. He was the guy, you know. I mean, I don't think he had a whole lot of use for the African-American community, you know. He was a hardliner, you know, but it was definitely a time of change and revolution and whatever, and everybody, you know, wanted to be able to, you know, live wherever they wanted to go. They wanted to be kept to one sector of the city, you know.
Hey, Andy.
That would be my observation.
Hey, Andy, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. Fred?
The result, it was very exciting for a young person like myself, because I was becoming aware of who I was as a black person. I was reading, and I remember vividly that when I joined the NAACP Youth Council, and, you know, some of my friends, a lot of my friends were also involved, the marches were a major thing. It was being covered by, you know, the networks, because as we were talking the other day, there were only three television networks in existence at that time. So as a result, you had a lot of attention being brought to bear on the city of Milwaukee, because at that time, Earl, as you know, the city of Milwaukee was, you know, it was a Polish-German populated city,
right,
with a very small African-American community. You know, black folks came to Milwaukee after the Great Migration in the late 50s. So it was one of the last cities to have an influx of African-American folks from the South to come up for the jobs, because at that time there were many, many jobs that were available to people. So as the caller was saying, the white folks would throw rocks and bricks and epithets at us and would charge us when we marched across the viaduct. So it's funny now, because they would literally run us back across the viaduct to Wisconsin Avenue.
So, Fred, because we unfortunately, we got to go to a break again quickly. But one would probably ask, what were the police doing during this time? Were they protecting the people coming across the viaduct who were enforcing their constitutional rights?
Oh, that's a whole other discussion that we'll have after the break.
Okay. All right, hang on. 844-967-2789. Attorney Fred Gordon's on the line. We'll be right back.
When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things, even committed some crimes. But I'm not a criminal.
Youth Advocate Programs is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. Learn how at yapinc.org.
As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you. Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. On the line, my good friend, attorney Fred Gordon and former alderman of the city of Milwaukee. He now resides in Charlotte, North Carolina. But Fred, before we went to break, we were talking about the viaduct. We were talking about the fact that peaceful marches were set to cross the viaduct, and there was opposition on the other end. I think there were certainly, at one point in time, I think I read 10,000 people who were going to march across that viaduct. On the other side of the viaduct waiting were angry Polish and German people who did not want people. And so why was the viaduct chosen to cross? Was it because knowing that those vicious people were on the other side to prove a point?
Well, there was certainly knowledge of resistance coming from people who did not want black folks in their neighborhood.
Right.
And as I indicated earlier, the viaducts were the separating lines between the north side and the south side of the city. And that particular viaduct was chosen because once you crossed it, you were right there on the south side. Everything changed. And, you know, growing up, when you went across the viaducts to the south side,
it didn't go.
It was like a whole new world.
Right. Didn't go.
You know, so as a result, the strategy was to confront that reality and to march there, because at that time, as I was saying earlier, the fair housing legislation for the city of Milwaukee was being debated by the Milwaukee Common Council. And Bill Phillips was leading the charge from the legislative aspect. Father Grappi was all about direct action. And because he was a white Catholic priest, he got attention from the media. And he was very smart and very skillful in using the media to promote what was being done as far as direct action was concerned and the marches that were taking place. And our strategy was to march every day until the legislation at the city level was passed. And that's what we did. And the response was, and you mentioned earlier, Earl, that the police, they were there. And I'll never forget it because, you know, they stood in formation. A lot of cops, probably anywhere from 100 to 100 cops or more. And they stood there with the batons ready and said nothing, did nothing, while all this chaos was going on. Because, you know, I had never been called the N-word until I marched across the Viaduct in my life. So as a result, that was obviously a shock to my system. But because we were committed to that aspect of the struggle, as we called it, we continued to march.
You know, Fred, as I think back, the over 200 days the marches went on in the city of Milwaukee. And why that's significant, Fred, is it's not like it's in Florida. The weather changes, right?
Yep.
And even during that inclement weather, the people continue to march.
Yes, absolutely. We got our impetus to do that from the Montgomery bus boycott, which lasted, as you know, for over a year, where people, you know, in the South, in Montgomery, Alabama, stopped riding the buses because of having to ride in the back of the bus and because of the protest that Rosa Parks was involved in. But no, the marches went on because people were committed. And again, the world was watching. You know, Milwaukee started to become more known for, you know, its segregated and racist policies because of that. And because Father Grappi was in the forefront, made it possible for the media to say, oh, this is newsworthy. But the marches continued until the legislation was finally passed. And as a result, you know, you look at what's happening now in Milwaukee, and things are different, but not that much different.
No, you know, Fred, what people need to really focus on is that at the root of these marches was the fact that black people were locked into a certain segment of the city where we could buy houses and could not, and were locked out of the constitutional rights. You're an attorney. Man, the fact that people, even based on what was right and what was wrong, and their constitutional rights were blatantly being disavowed, the fact that we had to go through all of that is pretty amazing to me.
Well, not only is it amazing, girl, it's instructive of the fact that took place during that period of time. We now have legislation to basically do whatever it is that we want to do, but the mentality and the mindset of those in control is still the same. Witness what's happening in the state of Florida.
Right.
Here we are celebrating Black History Month, and legislation has been passed in the state of Florida and endorsed by the governor saying that we can't learn about our history because it'll make white folks.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
What if one day you went to your secret hiding place? You know, that spot that only you know about? And instead of what you came for, you found something a little different. What if instead of your private stash, you found a simple phone number? 1-800-662-HELP. What would you do? Would you stop and give it some thought? Would you make the call? The truth is, all drug use comes with risk. Before those risks become real, before drugs turn your life upside down,
Badger Sports Network from Learfield. This is Badger Hockey.
Lifts and shoots and scores!
Badger Hockey is brought to you by American Family Insurance, because your dreams deserve a champion. And by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. Badger Hockey is on the air.
Good afternoon, hockey fans from Pagula Ice Arena in State College, Pennsylvania. Welcome to Wisconsin Badger Hockey. It's the regular season finale for the Badgers against the Penn State Nittany Lions. Mike Henderson's our producer at our Learfield studios in Jefferson City, Missouri. Paul Capobianco from UW Athletic Brand Communications, my broadcast partner today. I'm Brian Posick. Well, Wisconsin lost here last night 6-1 and fell to 12-21, 5-18 in the Big Ten, while Penn State improved to 20-12-1, 10-12-1 in league play. Because of other results, the Nittany Lions and the Badgers will not meet in the first round of the Big Ten playoffs. We'll talk more about that coming up here in a bit. But it is senior day here for Penn State. They have alternate uniforms. They're going to honor eight skaters here this afternoon, but that shouldn't matter to the Wisconsin Badgers. They just need to figure out what went wrong last night, and it may be plain and simple, Paul. They just didn't play well while Penn State came to play last night.
And it started, you know, they put themselves in a not a great position, giving up a goal 14 seconds into the game and a second one just under 7 minutes in, and you're fighting all night. Once you get to that point, kind of deflating, and it's hard to battle back from that, and you saw it throughout the night. Badgers talk about getting a forecheck. They just couldn't get that going at all last night, getting pucks in, and Penn State were coming out relatively easily each time, and Badgers just looked discombobulated from there on out. Again, it's a tough start to the game like that, and it kind of deflates you a little bit. And plus, motivation, you look at that a little bit. Penn State was playing and is playing for home ice to try to get up into the top four spots to get one, and Wisconsin's kind of just trying to play better, get itself to the tournament, which starts next weekend. Really, I hate to say it, but they're not really playing for a whole lot other than just pride and try to get ready for next week.
Yeah. By the way, Penn State currently tied for fourth place with Michigan State, and the Spartans have the tiebreaker on the Nittany Lions, so Penn State needs at least 1 point to get fourth place, but it's also dependent on what happens with Notre Dame at Michigan tonight. More about that in a bit. You know, Paul, we've seen the last couple of weekends, and in particular last weekend against Michigan State, where the Badgers laid an egg in the series opener, but were really good in the finale. Maybe that happens here today.
Yeah, I mean, the Badgers will definitely hang their hats on that the last 2 weeks, getting Saturday wins after Friday losses. And it came away last Friday, like, wondering what's going on. And then you, at the end of the night on Saturday, you're like, what a great win. Badgers played great, didn't give up much, scored goals, got everything working for them. So, little Jekyll and Hyde. Hopefully the good part of things come out this evening.
Which one's better? Is it Jekyll or Hyde? I can't remember.
I don't know. That was going through my head. I'm not sure who's who.
We're going to find that out. And we'll answer that question after we hear from head coach Tony Granato. The Badgers and the Penn State Nittany Lions are coming up from the American Family Insurance broadcast booth. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows of love around 12 tonight under partly cloudy skies, west winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Highs level off around 34. Tomorrow, mainly clear skies. Freezing rain likely. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 24. Overcast skies. About an inch of snow Monday through Monday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 28.
We're at Pagula Ice Arena in State College. The regular season finale tonight, Wisconsin against Penn State. Badgers fell last night 6-1. Head coach Tony Granato joins us. And right from the get-go, the Nittany Lions came out flying. They score 14 seconds in. They were tough to handle last night, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they won the opening draw. They got it in our end, got a whistle, and then they got a bounce on a face-off, goes in our net, and they didn't stop. They kept coming. They skated really well. They were coming off of shellacking last week against Minnesota. It's their senior weekend. They were ready, and we were flat-footed to start. And because of that, we chased the game the whole time. We never really got going. We got a little bit of momentum maybe in the third period, but for the most part, they took over the game pretty early. So for us tonight, it's going to be similar to a lot of situations we've been in this year. The first game either didn't go very well, and you got to make some adjustments. The adjustments are pretty simple. It's be ready to jump and get on your toes and not on your heels, and don't sit back and watch. You know, we got to be more aggressive. Mm-hmm. And last night, we weren't, and they were a better team. So tonight, things in college hockey are crazy sometimes. One night you look like the other team's so much better than you, and the next night you can, be ready to play and turn the tables pretty fast, and that's what we'll have to do at the start of the game tonight.
Badgers have won the last two series finales. I watched Paul Valukas, your strength and conditioning coach, get your guys ready each and every game, whether it be at the Kohl Center or we're on the road. And, boy, I tell you, I'm fired up, and I'd ready to hit the ice if I could, way he gets those guys going.
I think we all, as hockey fans and players and former players, you think, oh, it's easy to just jump in a game and be ready to play. Sometimes you do everything right, and you get in the game and things just don't go well from the start. And that happened for our team last night. It happened, in the Michigan series a few weeks ago. But the games in between, the Michigan State ones and the Minnesota ones, you saw some really good hockey and ready. We were ready to play. So tonight's one of those games. We got to respond. We got to be in a position, realizing that, we don't want to have to review this film leading into playoffs to prepare for us for next week's playoff series if it's not a good one. So we need to make a good one here to build some stuff to build off of, to be ready for the playoffs. We need some feeling good about ourselves. We need to have, a good week of practice. If we're going to have any success in the playoffs, it's got to be because we have confidence in one another. And there's no better way to build confidence but to finish the last game in the right way. And there's been lots of games this year. At the end of the game, you're going, geez, we just beat top five team. Hey, we just beat the top team. Hey, we just, played great and beat whoever. And there's been lots of those games. So we can do it. you know, the consistency part of it and the understanding and the energy that it's going to take is focus and discipline from every player in your lineup. We are a team that is relied upon on every player. Certain teams can get away with having a great first line, a great power play, and really good goaltending. And other teams are built different ways to stay in games. Our team is built that we need everybody to play solid and consistent shift after shift. And when we do that, we're really good. When we don't do it, a thing like last night happens.
Badgers and Nittany Lions tonight. More with Tony Granato in a moment. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
How do you use your energy? Cheering on your team under the lights? Making a special meal for the MVPs in your life? At Alliant Energy, we know it's about more than just energy. It's about what that energy powers us all to do together. Alliant Energy, powering beyond.
Bedroom too hot? Basement too cold? A MyDia ductless system is the perfect solution for room-by-room comfort control without the headache of a major renovation. As you look for ways to maximize your space, MyDia can provide you with a customizable solution to meet your needs. To learn more, visit MyDiaMidwest.com. That's M-I-D-E-A Midwest.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
It takes hard work to be the best in the game. Planning, commitment, resilience, sweat. That's why Old Dominion Freight Line, the number one national LTL carrier for quality, works hard to be the best in the game and is proud to support those striving to be the best in theirs. Old Dominion Freight Line, official freight carrier of Wisconsin Athletics, helping the world keep promises.
How do you use your energy? Cheering on your team under the lights? Making a special meal for the MVPs in your life? At Alliant Energy, we know it's about more than just energy. It's about what that energy powers us all to do together. Alliant Energy, powering beyond.
Badgers and Nittany Lions coming up here in just a bit. Face off at 4 o'clock. Wisconsin will be traveling next weekend, first round of the playoffs, either to Michigan or Ohio State, depending on the outcome of their series this weekend. Tony, we've talked a lot. You mentioned it all the time about how you need to be a hard forechecking team, roll four lines. Last night, the forecheck just wasn't there. How do you pick it up here today?
It's interesting because if you review it, the first guy got in the forecheck really well was our support that wasn't in good positions to react to what happened when the first guy got in there. And that's why I thought, you know, they were able to make one play and then they were able to make that second play, then their breakout, and that's why they had so much speed through the neutral zone. That was the key. Our second, third guys were just sleepy, a little bit, you know, slow getting to their spots. And again, they were flying and they took advantage of that. So for us tonight, like you said, we got to be a little bit more committed to getting pucks behind their D. And again, I say this over and over, it's not dumping a puck. It's realizing I don't have a play. So my play is to put it somewhere where they have to go get it, not put it somewhere where they can cause a turnover and get back in transition to our end. And so that's really important for us. They got skating last night. They're so confident going into the game. They want to open it up and wheel, free wheel like they did the first, you know, 40 minutes of the game last night. And we got to prevent that from happening by being smart with their puck decisions, being physical on the forecheck, and having great support.
Sure. Cruz Lucius out of the lineup again tonight. Anthony Kerr will not play tonight either, hoping to get him healthier for the playoffs. Kyle McClellan will be in goal for Jared Moe. And you know from number 5 and number 16, Shea Donovan and Robbie Newton, you're going to get plenty of energy tonight. They're in the lineup this evening.
They are. They've been, you know, again, we talked about Shea a lot senior night and senior weekend because, you know, there's a guy that from a coach's perspective, you have to have in your locker room, and you have to have a guy that's going to understand his role, understand the fact that he might not play much, but when he does, he always brings something positive. So, yes, the guys are excited he's in the lineup. I'm excited he's in the lineup. He's going to play some forward, some D, which he's you know, but he was great up front. You know, we put him up front there in the Milwaukee series because we were short bodies, mm-hmm. and did a great job. And he's played a couple other games where he's been spotted up front. So, again, we need that energy, the physicality, and his love for being part of this is really cool. And, you know, it's, again, whether it was senior night at home last weekend or senior night tonight, this is his last opportunity from a regular season game to wear his jersey, and he's certainly earned that and deserves a chance tonight. So I'm excited for him.
Badgers and the Penn State Nittany Lions coming up. That's head coach Tony Granato. We'll have more from the American Family Insurance broadcast booth in a moment. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, "Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out."
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hello?
Man, where are you? I thought you were coming.
I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf. Man, I'll call you back.
Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
U.S. Kids and the Ad Council.
Sunny but chilly day here in Happy Valley. A lot of happy campers walking around, too. It's what they call here State Patrick's Day, as students celebrate St. Patrick's Day by getting after it. And they're all dressed up in green, like from head to toe, and they're up at the wee hours of the morning and go to bed at about the same time they wake up. It's very interesting, but, you know, similar to any college town, whether it's University of Wisconsin or Michigan State, whatever the case may be. So what do you think of Penn State University, the people, Paul? I'm just kidding. As far as Penn State's concerned, they've got 20 wins for the fifth time in Guy Gadowski's 11 years as head coach. Because they're sixth in the pairwise, they are assured a spot in the NCAA tournament for just the third time in this program's history as a Division I team. Do you think they have the wherewithal to make a run in the national tournament?
Well, they play a style that people outside the Big Ten aren't used to, so it's always, it takes an adjustment for anybody. But Yeah, their first line, actually, I thought they were pretty impressive. They have the skill and the small, Geneve and Linden and Calder, a couple transfers that both have size and skill, and they use their body really well. And they had great vision. They were all over the batters in the first period, and they have decent amount of depth with some of the other guys. Kevin Wall's a good scorer, and their style, at least yesterday, they did a really good job at their own zone and in the neutral zone, especially making it difficult. So you could see how they could give some people some problems in the when they get to the NCAA tournament, for sure.
Yeah, and you think of Tour Linden and Ashton Calder, both are 25-year-old men, and in some instances, 5-6 years older than young boys that are skating for the Cardinal and White here this afternoon. The Badgers and the Penn State Nittany Lions, and we'll tell you what's going on in the Big Ten and what could be to come next weekend when we come back. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
In Wisconsin, Badger Hockey is historic. We're proud of our nationally ranked Badgers winning 6 championships. At UW Health, we're also proud to support the same top rankings. Break your arm in a body check. Visit UW Health, the #1 orthopedic care in the state. Or break your heart after a tough loss. The #1 hospital in Wisconsin's got you. No matter the need, UW Health is here to deliver the best care for every Badger. UW Health. Remarkable.
Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers. Based in Wisconsin for 60 years, Rail offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's premier on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions, including maintenance technicians. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
At Cenex, we're locally owned and operated, so your community is our community. That's why your Cenex goes far beyond the store. We fuel community connections by supporting local festivals, restoring town monuments, and renovating baseball fields. Now in its fourth year, we'll have contributed more than $400,000 to Cenex communities through our Hometown Pride initiative, because community connections make the places we live so special. Cenex, powered locally.
And it's the final day of the regular season in Big Ten hockey. Michigan home to play Notre Dame after losing in a shootout to the Irish last night, 4-3. Jesse Lansdell had a goal and an assist for Notre Dame, which is still holding out hope for home ice in the first round of the playoffs. Michigan hasn't won a game now in 3 straight after winning 7 in a row. Meanwhile, Minnesota blanked Ohio State 4-0 at Mariucci. Defenseman Mike Kester had 2 goals and 4 points for the Gophers. Justin Close with 23 saves. Minnesota #1 in the pairwise, headed for a #1 seed, maybe overall, in the NCAA tournament. And Paul, it's pretty simple what happens as far as Wisconsin and its first round playoff matchup next weekend. It'll be on the road, we know that for sure.
Yeah, Michigan controls things with being in second place by a point. They win, Badgers go to Michigan. If Ohio State gets some points tonight, really they need to get 2 to guarantee it. But 1 point, and depending on how the Badgers do here, if they grab a point from Penn State, then it would be Ohio State for the Badgers next weekend. So it's going to be one of those two teams. And it's been a long time since the Badgers started out their season, the Big Ten season, at Ohio State. And Michigan was just a couple of weeks ago. That one didn't go great. At Ohio State, the Badgers had a good lead in one of the games and dropped it. So, I mean, they're both good teams, so it really doesn't matter. It's going to have to play really well for 2 or at least 2 of 3 nights, and we'll see what happens when that comes up.
And that's starting next Friday night, again, either in Ann Arbor or Columbus. Michigan right now is ranked 4th in the pairwise. Ohio State is tied for 9th. Badgers and the Nittany Lions coming up, and we'll have the line charts for you after this short break. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 a.m, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh, oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pride.
Left corner, three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
The Wisconsin women's hockey team opened the WCHA playoffs last night with a 3-0 win over Minnesota State as Kirsten Sims, KK Harvey both scored. So did, was it Maddie Wheeler? Can't recall off the top of my head and forgot to write it down.
Wasnowitz.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sarah Wasnowitz. And then Cammie Cronish pitched the shutout and goal, and the Badgers playing Minnesota State again in game two of the best of three series and just tied it up. A Britta Curl goal. It's 1-1 in the second period at LeBron Arena. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification, 10 seconds for a legal ID. You're listening to Wisconsin Badger Hockey.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
And freshman Layla Edwards has just scored. Wisconsin leads Mankato now 2-1 in the second period at LeBron Arena. Let's get to the UW Health injury update. UW Health Sports Medicine treating the Badgers, treating you in Wisconsin, minus freshman Cruz Lucius, their leading scorer, out with an upper body injury. Anthony Kerr will not play tonight. He's been scratched each of the last two Saturdays after returning from an 8-game absence because of an upper body injury. And Ty Smolonic, who was in the lineup last night after missing 4 games, will not skate for the Badgers tonight. Instead, as we look at the Quick Trip lineups tonight, Paul, we're going to see number 5, Shea Donovan, the senior from Duluth, and number 16, Robbie Newton, the freshman from Milwaukee. The healthy players the Badgers have are all suited up here tonight. And as Tony Granato mentioned in the pregame show, Donovan's going to play up front and in the back end as well. And we'll see if maybe they ignite a little fire under their teammates here this afternoon.
And I think the coaching staff starting Caulfield, Mersch, and Donovan to try to get, one, it's seniors again on Penn State senior night, but also we know the energy that Dominic Mersch and Shea Donovan bring to the lineup, and Caulfield's just a solid player, so trying to get off to a good start with those guys. And, yeah, it's fun. It's always fun when you get to see those guys get in the lineup. Robbie Newton even, because